Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas. Today's message is from our senior pastor, Dr. John D. Morgan.
Now then, we are in the book of Ephesians, and we are in a series called Defense, Defense, Defense. And in this passage, in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, there is a clear presentation made by the Apostle Paul as he looks out at the Roman soldiers that are around him to teach from the garb that they wear how important it is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the armor of our faith, and to stand against the evil one. We've tried to establish in this series of messages that if the Roman army's job was to conquer the world for the Roman Empire, our job is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the entire world. And that is what we are left here to do. We're not left here to enjoy God's wonderful world. We're not left here to just make sure that it keep it green or that we go green. We're not here just to enjoy relationships with each other. We'll have a lot of time in heaven to do that. We're left here to tell the world that Jesus saves and that Jesus has a plan for every single life. And all you got to do is whip the enemy and let the Lord just have a opportunity to equip you, go with you. And this battle is not ours, it's the Lord. The scripture is very clear on that. And so he is our commander in chief. And our job is to prepare the way for the commander in chief to come back to this earth again to establish his kingdom and to bring to a conclusion the prophecies that are written in God's word. So, with that said, today's key verse is going to be the 16th verse of Ephesians chapter 6, where we have dealt already with a part of the armor, with the loins girded with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, that we get and put on the shoes and go out and tell the uttermost part of the world about the love of God and what Jesus did for all of us on the cross. Now, today's key verse is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. And I would ask you to stand out of respect to the reading of this verse, which will be our key verse for the morning. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You might want to circle that word all, because what we're going to talk about today in the shield of faith, it will stand against anything that'll ever come against you. The just will live and walk by faith. So let's think about it and talk about it. Would you be seated? God bless you for standing for the reading of the word. You know, we have the tendency today to just back away and accept the fact that times are getting worse and worse and things are falling apart and there's little hope. And we have the tendency, even as Christians, to kind of hide behind the rocks and just let it fly, and just say, well, I just hope I die before it really happens. Again, this week, our news was filled with stories, highlighted, of course, by the fall of Africa's most tenured dictator, Muammar Gaddafi, and all that gathered around that, as those that were hollering and using the word dog to describe their leader. I wonder, what word do you use to describe your leader? I hope that it's one of the many you could choose from that he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. He is Savior. He's coming King. He's reigning Lord. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is one that is deserving of all of our time, tension, and whatever else we choose to do. Let me remind you of a scripture, Christians. Jesus said this, Matthew 16:18, he said, "And I say also unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and," listen, "the gates of hell will not prevail against it." There's no question that things that are not real are going to fall. Sometimes there are things that carry the name of Jesus, but they are not from the Lord. And those things will continue to fall until Jesus comes back again. But as soldiers, we are to affirm one another. We are an army. We're not an individual that's going against the fiery darts of the wicked one that will stand alone against an army. We are a body of believers. We are the family of God. We are the bride of Christ. We are the ones that come together and affirm one another. And as I said during our prayer time, to give glory to God with the real hopes that we will be an encouragement to others who are still in bondage to turn to Him. And every time that we get in a battle with Satan and we refuse to surrender, we refuse to quit or give up, we are again an example to those that are the slaves of sin. Yes. Hear God's word in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." Right. What a great encouragement from the commander-in-chief, from the Lord. He said, "I want you as a prisoner of the Lord, as my prisoner, to walk worthy of the vocation to wherewith you're called." What were you called to? To spread the gospel. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, where Paul says that you would walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory. You know, when you can hear those good words from the coach, if you've ever played ball, you know how good it is to hear a positive word from the coach, an encouraging word to get out there, you know. Yes, they scored 9 runs in the top of the first, but we hadn't batted yet. I think last night in the World Series, I didn't watch it all. I had to go to bed before one of my favorite Christians picked up a bat and hit 3 home runs, knocked in 6 RBIs. I just suppose the Cardinals won. I don't know, but I do know this. At times, it looked a little bit dark. When I went to bed, the bases were loaded by the Rangers and all. But, you know, I like people don't quit. I like people that hang in there. I like people, especially when you believe in what you're doing. And I would hope that you wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe in what we're doing. Yes. That you understand that we're not just gathered here. It's another civic club that's meeting in town to adopt a little project that we can do. But we are here in a battle for the souls of men. Yes. And that God is in charge. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Right. How much more encouragement can we get than that? You know, when you move forward and I move forward, the enemy has to move backwards. He can't stand against us. And if whatever path you're following today, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're not one that understands you've been recruited into the army of God, and whatever path you're following, if it has not led you to God, I encourage you to seek another path. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to go after the gods of this world when all the people you know that have done that have gone down? Why in the world would you think I alone will one day stand? It isn't going to happen. So Paul gives us three more pieces of armor that we've got to cover in this series, and only going to do one today. We're going to talk about the shield. We've got to deal with the helmet and the sword, but today we're going to deal with the shield. Let me tell you about the shield. The Roman shield was made of a piece of wood 4.5 feet long and about 2.5 feet wide. And that piece of wood was soaked in water. And it was covered with, it was covered with leather that was soaked in water, and that shield would take the fiery darts of the enemy in close combat. And part of the watering process right before the battle was that the arrow that would hit the shield, if it stuck in the shield, it would be put out, and it would not set the soldier on fire. And it would also, the leather and the wood would prohibit the penetration of that arrow into the vital part of the soldier. And so Paul says to all of us, now here's what I want you to do. Get you a shield. You know, maybe 4.5 foot is a little bit too big for you, so get you a custom-built one that will cover the vital parts of your spiritual body, and that you would deal with the enemy, understanding that the closer you are to the front line, the more arrows you're going to have hit you. You know, that's the reason I think so many of us like to be back in the background, because back here, they might not see me, and let them shoot those up there that got all those feathers in their bonnet, and you just kind of sit back and watch from the back. But God wants you on the front line. There's enough room for all of us to be on the front line. But if we're on the front line, we've got to be prepared for the fiery darts of the wicked one, because they are, first of all, we're easier to hit. And faith is not the power of positive thinking. A lot of people think faith is, if I just think it and believe it, then everything's going to happen. That's not what faith is. That's not what it is at all. You know, if I have enough faith, I'll get the job, I'll pass the test, I'll be healed from my sickness, I'll get a raise, I'll save my marriage. It's not the amount of your faith, it's the object of your faith.
That's right.
What do you have faith in? Do you have faith in the things of man? Do you have the faith in the government? Do you have the faith in Wall Street or the markets? Do you have faith in your physical body that is dying daily? I mean, what do you have faith in? My relationships, my job, my position, my popularity, my looks. I mean, where is the faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's think about that faith for just a moment. Faith is the absolute, unquestioned belief that God did what he said he did, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Could I just put that to where the water meets the wheels? Let me just simplify it for the intellectuals that are here. If the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? Now, your grandchild can understand that scripture. What does that scripture say? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right. Yes, but I've been to the university. And I just happen to know better. Well, what's your plan? What do you believe? Well, I believe in the theory of, the theory. Well, you're already off my chart. I believe in the fact. Right. You say, but you don't have any proof. No, but I got a whole lot of faith. And I know the Bible says, unless I have a faith, and I've got 20-something years of formal education, but if I have the faith of a little child, and by the way, all that formal education plus $4 will buy me some coffee at the coffee shop, you know. But if I have the faith of a little child, I can walk in victory. You know what I can know? I can know that I'm saved. You say, well, how do you know you're saved? Because I met the conditions. Well, what are the conditions? Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yeah, but have you thought about, oh, let me see your giving record. Let me see your attendance record. Let me see, you know. No. We're talking about salvation. And I, by faith, believe that Jesus did what he said he'd do. And that is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's right. Whoever, if you will repent and be born again, you'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. Well, but I have a different opinion, Pastor. That's okay. That's okay for you to have a different opinion, but I'm not going to have any faith in your opinion. But I'm going to have a whole lot of faith in the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. If God says it, that settles it for me. I am not going to lose any sleep over your theory. And I do know this, and I'm as happy as about anybody in this building, and if your deal is working for you, well, you have at it. But I don't need to change. Because I found life, and I found it more abundantly, and I found it when I was 7 years old. And I've yet to change. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm telling you, though, that if you don't walk by faith and you're walking by sight, you're having a tough morning. That's right. You've looked at what's happened to you this week and say, I just don't get it. Man, I'm just worried to death. I tell you, I don't know what that stock market's going to do. I just don't know what it's going to do. And that doctor, he tells me that I'm just lucky to be alive. You know. Have you noticed everybody has 90% blockage? Nobody has 84%. Nobody has 93%. I mean, that's an amazing statistic to me. You know, you got a 90% blockage. Well, and I'm just worried about that. Well, what happened if you die? Paul said, for me, to die is gain. Yes. That's what he said. So what are you worried about? What are you worried about? Well, I just like my house. Where do you see the other one? Well, I just like where I live. I read a newspaper this week that there's several things if you live in the South that you'll never say. People that live in the South never say. One of those being, I just can't wait till I retire and move up north. Have you ever heard that? Not a one. Not a one. We don't have any penguins that want to go north. We have the snowbirds that want to come down here, I understand. But here's the point I'm trying to make to you folks. Faith is what keeps us in the battle. Yes. What I see, I don't like. Looks like we're losing, don't it? Think where we've gone the last 50 years. I stood at Cruz Elementary School and read the Bible when I was in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. I gave the devotional Jackson Junior High in Pasadena. I don't know how many times. When I was in high school, I did the same thing. When I was growing up, you could go to the courthouse. You could go to anywhere you wanted to, go to any football game. People were praying, whatever. I mean, what in the world, you know, is going on? Well, it's just fulfillment of the prophecy of this book. Before I come, stand strong in the Lord. Let your faith hold out. I'm coming. Just listen. He doesn't tell us to watch. He says, listen, the trumpet is going to sound, and the Lord is coming back to this earth again. You see, the Bible is filled with universal and eternal truths upon which we can build our life. And every day, if you will find yourself unshakable in the promises of God, you will have what is called a conviction. That's what it is, a conviction. And my conviction is that God's word is true, and God will do what he said he would do, and I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The sign may come down, but the Savior is not walking out on us. And whenever we get a hold of those truths, it sure gives you a whole lot better day. A simple definition of faith, again, is just to believe that God will do what he promised to do and then act accordingly. If you believe God's going to do what he said he would do, then act accordingly. Don't quit. Don't turn in your shield. Don't bring and say, you know, I'm defecting. You know, here's my helmet, here's my sword, here's my shield, here's my boots, here's my belt. I mean, I'm out of here. Man, I can see we're in the minority. Well, what'd Jesus say? He said, many there are that are going to eternal damnation, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there are that are going to find it. Are you in the few or are you in the majority? It just boils down to that. You know, sometimes obedience may make little or no sense to you. You ever been there? Well, you look kind of spiritual this morning. I'm not sure. I can't see those of you that are watching, but if you look as spiritual as those folks in here, I don't know. But I've got to confess to you, I've come across a lot of times in my life when obedience just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. One was when our church decided we'd never borrow any money again and pay cash. That didn't make a bit of sense to me. But I do know that Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know that. And by faith, I believe that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he never financed a building program in the Old or New Testament. So why can't he do it today? But it didn't seem right. It didn't make any sense. When you hold up the shield and move forward, the arrows of doubt and disappointment and discouragement will fill your shield, because they're all going to come at you. All going to come at you. Job is our example for that. He lost everything and he kept moving forward. He didn't get good counsel, but he kept moving forward. And Job asked the same questions that many are asking today of us. Like, for instance, why would God take my child? Why would God take my house? Why would God allow a disease? Why would God take my money? Why is God angry at me? I mean, he dealt with all of them, not just one or two, but he dealt with all of them and many, many more, just like us. But the one thing that helped was he was going to obey God if he slayed him. And he was not going to listen to the educated counsel that he got from those that were around him. He just said, I'm going to stay the course. And I think there's three things that he remembered. Number one, God is in control, and I'm by faith, I'm going to trust him. He never doubted that. Do you really believe today God's in control of the United States of America?
Yes, sir.
It wasn't even here 230, 40 years ago, whatever the exact number is. Wasn't even here. Is it going to be here 100 years from now, 50 years from now?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. When the Lord created the world, he didn't create the countries. We did all that stuff. But we love America. And I do know this, righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And I do know this, there's not one nation that ever stood when it turned against God. And you can start with the Roman Empire and go anywhere you want to go on the planet. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so it's up to the Lord to determine whether America stands. But I'm not concerned about where America stands as much as I'm concerned about where I stand and where you stand. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what other people are going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So why should you obey God if you look around and notice that the righteous and the unrighteous experience the same fates? They all die. They all get sick. They all have financial pressures. They all have marital problems. They all have children that can try them to the utmost. And you just keep on naming it. Keep on naming it. So why would I serve him? Because by faith I believe that he is a God that cares about me. And he has it all worked out.
Yes.
Job was asked, why do you keep on trusting God that's allowed all this stuff to come upon you? Why would you do that? He said in the 42nd chapter, verse 2, I know that thou can do everything and that no thought can be withheld from thee. That's what he thought about the Lord. Yes. But there's another thing that he realized, and that was that God rewards the righteous. So just obey. Just obey. Not only am I going to trust him, I'm going to obey him. See, a lot of people trust God, they just don't obey God.
That's right.
And they're not the same thing.
That's right.
You can trust and not obey.
Right.
You remember the old song, don't you? Trust and obey. Not just trust and trust, but trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in who? Jesus, but to trust and obey. I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to obey him. My marriage is struggling, I'm going to obey. Finances are tough, I'm going to obey him. I'm not getting a good report from my doctors, I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to obey him. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. That's what he's talking about here. See, Job literally asks the question, why don't those that are wicked suffer more? It's in the 21st chapter of Job, the 17th verse. How often is the candle of the wicked put out? And how often comes their destruction upon them? In other words, God, I know what's happening to me, but why don't you do it to them? Have you seen those things I did this month for you? And yet, they're the ones. They're the ones that are getting all the stuff. And I'm the one that's struggling. So Job just held up the shield of faith and he believed God. He said, I'm going to trust him by faith. I'm going to obey him by faith.
Yes.
Job 13:15, though he slays me, I will trust him. Now, James, you remember him? Well, if you don't know, he's in the New Testament. Job's in the Old Testament. It's so much enjoyment for me to see all the New Testament guys that like to quote the Old Testament guys that you can learn something from those that went before you. Here's what James said about Job, 5th chapter James, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You see, he says, you know that Old Testament story? You remember how it ended? Have you read Revelations recently? You say, I don't understand it. Well, just by faith, believe the Holy Spirit will interpret to you to find in Revelation what you need to find. And let me tell you what you're looking for. We win.
Yes.
Okay? Before you place your bet, we win.
Yes.
Before you bet your soul and eternity, we win. And you decide what team you're going to get on. Just that simple. Obedience will always be rewarded. Let me ask you a question if you raised any kids. Did your kids ever go wrong by obeying you? Even if you were wrong, what did you have to do? Well, I did it, and I still had a problem. Well, Dad's sorry. You know? Like when I marry folks, I tell them, you know, those 12 words that you got to memorize. I was wrong. That's what you say to your wife or husband. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I love you and I need you. Same thing is true with the Lord. What we need to do is simply say, I'm going to obey you and I'm going to do what you tell me to do, and I promise you, if God tells you to do something and you do it, he will make it right with you. But the psalmist David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when that psalm that was written through the eyes of an old sheep, it made it very, very clear. And then finally, God's kingdom will prevail. So serve him. Abraham Lincoln, here's what he said. He said, I would rather fail in a cause that will succeed than to succeed in a cause that will eventually fail.
Right.
Think about his words. I'm going to do right on purpose. That's what Daniel said when Nebuchadnezzar had him under control. In the first chapter, it's very, very clear that he had already determined that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, and he would hold to it. Didn't matter what the circumstances were. I believe most all of us, if not all of us, would want to be on the winning side when it's over with.
Yes.
And it appears today, I'm just going to be as honest as I can be with you this morning, it appears today that evil is winning. Now, if you got evidence to the contrary, I need to see it. Because our marriages, our rebellion, our crime rates, our economy, you name it, it don't look good. Not only in America, but in the whole world. Big earthquake in Turkey yesterday. Floods in Thailand. They'd say it'll be weeks before the water descends. All over the world, people are seeing things they've never seen in their life before. But the scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Lord comes. If we were coming in today, I was riding in the back seat of the Pittman's car, and I looked over in the sky, and I saw something just come. It looked like it fell out there about 2 miles away. And they did not see it, but I'm glad that the other Pittman saw it, his brother, because they saw it from their house today. And I don't know where that German satellite, I don't know what it was, but I saw it come and hit not too far from where I live this morning. I saw it for quite a moment. So I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
Can you prove it, preacher? Don't have to. Don't have to. I don't live long enough to prove it.
Right.
People have been trying to disprove God for thousands of years, and they hadn't made any headway whatsoever. The more they try to prove him, the more foolish they look. Just about the time they say it can't happen, it does happen. I just love it. I just love it. Job had every reason to doubt. And I can understand why some of you may be entertaining the same thought. Because it didn't turn out like you had planned it. It didn't end like you thought it was going to end. You had planned to be wherever at this time in your life, and you're not there. But just trust the Lord. He knows you. He's a wonderful Lord. Let me give you a final word from Job. We got to go. 19th chapter, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. He said, I want everybody to know I'm on God's side.
Right.
It may look like that I'm withered and worn and tattered and I don't look like much, but it doesn't make any difference. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Yes.
There is no middle ground. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me. You either are putting on and have put on the armor of God, or you have not. And as we talk about salvation and the Word of God in the next 2 weeks, you'll know at the end where you stand. If you'll be honest with yourself, if you'll just look and see, I don't have a shield. I don't walk by faith. So hold up the shield and move forward. Watch them. Watch how those that are in these riots are trained with that shield. Boom, 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 boom. Moving back, 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 back. And I tell you, they don't forget it. They don't run out there on the front lines of a riot and say, "Oh, did you get my shield?" That's the first thing they check out, because I'm going to need it. If you don't have a shield today, you need to get one. For by grace are you saved through
faith,
and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You got the shield? You saved by faith or by works? I pray it's by faith. If it's not, we're fixing to open up the Connection Center, and you can see, they'll show you the difference. Hey, and it's not anything Baptist about it. And it's not anything Church of Christ about it. And it's not anything Catholic about it. It's not anything Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, or the What's Happening Now Church. It has to do with Thus Saith the Lord. And it's very clear. You don't have to go to seminary to understand it. But without faith, it's impossible to get saved. Impossible. Make sure you got the shield.
We pray that today's message has brought you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Join us Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. at Sagemont Church in the Worship Auditorium. For more information, check us out on the World Wide Web, sagemontchurch.org.